This episode is only gonna be as long as you guys can bitch about the Pro Tours.
Oh, I can bitch about the Pro Tour for a long time.
Yup.
Alright, well, let's start then. How about that? How about Pineapples? Huh?
Let's bitch about the Pro Tour.
Alright, let's do it. Welcome to Card Knock Life, episode 37. Yes.
The inaugural Eldrazi.
Sam Shields.
Bitch about Sam Shields.
Sam Shields.
Yeah. The only time I hope we ever have to talk about Eldrazi, but we'll have to talk about it forever.
Hey, okay, let's get there when we get there. We got to start with some other news first before we go off on that tangent.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And we
Eldrazi
have to
wins.
Let's talk positive here. We have a new set announced, and that's the second set of Shadows Over Innistrad. It's called Eldritch Moon. It's only significant because we now know the name of that set.
Yep.
But sweet. It's happening. And that is releasing on July 16th.
Pre-release
July 16th and releasing on July 22nd. Yeah, there's a lot of spoiled stuff from the Shadows. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, I saw the Madness, yeah, but so that's about it.
There was like a pack that got leaked. Someone leaked an entire pack, and it's got all the commons. So like we ended up with a lot of the crappy cards. Usually they wait to spoil all the commons and the uncommons until the end because they're usually pretty shitty.
But, nobody gets excited about that. Ooh, spoiler season.
As far as I can see, there's not a whole lot of really awesome stuff in this set yet, but there is an envelope. There's an Invasive Surgery, which is a blue instant.
That's cool. I really like that.
This is an uncommon counter target sorcery spell, and it has Delirium, which is a new keyword mechanic. If there are four or more card types among cards in your graveyard, search the graveyard, hand, and library of that spell's controller for any number of cards with the same name as that spell and exile those cards. Then that player shuffles his or her
library.
Wait,
did you say four card types in your graveyard specifically?
Yeah. That's what it says. If there are four more card types among cards in your graveyard, and it's kind of confusing. Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Search the graveyard, hand, and library of that spell's controller. So it's you. I don't know why it just doesn't say you.
No. Search the library of the person who controls the spell you counter.
Oh, okay, got it. Yep.
It's a surgical extraction if you counter the spell.
I see. So
and they have Delirium.
So Delirium is like what's the mechanic from Origins that says if you have two or more instants or sorcery spell mastery. So this is like another kind of check.
So this is really kind of cool because like Madness and like the Plane of Eldrazi with werewolves. This is like, or Innistrad with werewolves. Really well, like flavorful, very nice. And, like, that card is powerful and might see play in Legacy because a lot of blue Delver decks try and just counter Terminus. And so, like, early in the game, if you can get a creature in your yard, like, land instant creature sorcery, surgical extracting Terminus against Miracles is just, like, ooh.
It's pretty good.
I just hate the thought of it. Or surgical extracting Show and Tell.
It seems like there's a lot of a lot of things coming back here. We've got flip cards returning. We've got Madness returning. We've got an Evergreen mechanic in Skulk. This creature can't be blocked by creatures with greater power. I'm assuming it's an Evergreen mechanic. That sounds like something that's given a name that didn't have one already.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of new stuff too. So there's that. And then we've got something called Investigate in the set. And it says, put a colorless clue artifact token on the battlefield with two sacrifice, draw a card. And an example of that is on a spell called Expose Evil. It's one and a white for an instant. Tap up to two creatures. And then it has Investigate.
I just like the fact that they're clues. I like clues.
Yeah.
Feels like it's the wrong plane for clues. I feel like that should have been more towards the Zendikar.
This is
clues.
This is totally the Arkham Horror set is what it is. Because Eldritch is... Eldritch is a term that they use for one of the cities in Arkham Horror, isn't it?
I don't know.
Anyways, that game's all about clues. If you ever played the board game, Arkham Horror, you have to get
clues. I've heard of this game, but I've never played it.
Oh, it's a great game. It takes like 4.5 hours to play, and you always lose. But it's fun.
So why would I want to play if I always lose?
It's the experience. It's the journey, not the destination.
That seems horrible, man. I don't want to always lose.
So, yeah, we're going to investigate. We're going to find some clues in Arkham Horror here. Devil's Playground is the rare in this pack that was spoiled, and it is 4 red-red for a sorcery. Put 4 1-1 red devil creature tokens on the battlefield. They have, when this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player. 4 Mog Fanatics for 6, basically.
Mm.
Ish.
Yeah. If they had haste, it'd be cool.
Yeah, it's way overcosted.
Yeah, but as is, it's nah.
So, there you go. And everything's pretty lackluster. I mean, this is, and I should be clear, this is Shadows Over Innistrad that we have the pack from. The Eldritch Moons is the second set, of course. So correct. We will be getting spoilers for that in a long time. But something to look forward to.
So with this new mechanic of, what's it called again? Delirium?
Delirium, you're
not,
yeah.
We're not going to, like, people are talking about Tarmogoyf reprint. I don't think that's going to be a thing because Delirium pretty much says make Tarmogoyf a 4/5.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
Don't think we're going to get that.
I mean, it's the similarity is there, but I don't see how this would suggest that he's coming back.
Yeah.
Might as well, though. I mean, we've had this conversation before. If we're gonna open this can of worms, I think Tarmogoyf would be fine in Standard.
I mean, not in a Standard where they want Delirium to be
fair.
A keyword.
Yeah.
I'm just not even going to start this argument.
All right, we won't go there, but I'm just let me just say that fetch lands will be cycled out at that time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. Okay, let me ask you something. I don't really understand the rotation of the new sets now, because this is going to be the first time that we've got the new rotation in effect. Mm-hmm. When this is in April, when Shadows of Innistrad comes out, we're going to lose Cons, but we're going to keep MTG Origins, right?
Yes, we lose Cons, and we lose second Cons.
Right, so the Cons block. Right?
Second Cons!
No, so then, no, not Cons block. The second set in Cons block we're losing.
Oh, really? But so the third one stays?
The third one's staying.
Okay. All right, what? So this is a really odd time of for Standard then.
What sort of weird
this is,
science?
This is the transition. It's so it's balanced now. So we have that third set plus MTG Origins, and then effectively that's, you know, like quote unquote a block worth of cards.
It's weird because they want two because they're going from a two block structure. So Cons of Tetir and Fate Reforged are going to be cycling out when Shadows Over Innistrad comes in. And then once,
what's the set called?
Fate Reforged.
Okay, that's the third one.
No, Dragons of Tetir.
Got it. That's a big set, though, isn't it?
Big.
That was a large set.
I don't even know what's going on. I don't even care. It's Standard.
It's wacky. It's very wacky. But basically, the idea is that you're gonna have these two set blocks from here on out. Origins was the last core set. You know, you're gonna have the rotation of. It's gonna be really clean. Whenever a new set comes in, you only have two sets per block, so the rotation is going to happen more often. when the second set comes in, though, Eldritch Moons, what's that going to do? What's that going to boot out? Anything?
Nothing.
Okay.
And then once
the first set of the next block comes in, it boots the other two.
It boots out Dragons and Magic Origins.
Got it. All right, so it's going to be a while for Origins. We're going to have Jace for a long time. We're going to have Hangerback Walker for a long time.
Pia and Kieran, though.
Yep. All right, so that's that. Next order of business, there was another announcement made, another positive here for the world of Magic.
Ricky Hashi, L4 Judge, is that what you're going for?
No. That guy's if you've got some information on him, share it.
He's got his L4 cert, which is basically like L3 is usually where most judges stop leveling up. So like L4s and L5s are like the gods of the judge world. And Ricky Hashi is just one of the most pleasant judges to ever be around. Like, I've been to quite a few tournaments he's judged in, and he's a wizard, and he's a wonderful human being. So thumbs up.
At that point, he's going to have a microchip inserted into his head, right? So that he can have an encyclopedic knowledge of all the rules.
I don't think he needs it. I think he already has encyclopedic knowledge. I think you have to be an L4.
I see. That's good. That was totally different than where I was going, though.
Oh, go ahead.
No, that's cool. The Pro Tour Gauntlet is a new thing that they're bringing to Magic
Online.
Oh, yes,
this is cool.
Have you heard about this? It's kind of interesting. And this is going to start on Wednesday, I believe. Basically, this is a Phantom event, just like the Phantom Drafts, where you don't keep any of the cards you draft. You're going to sign up for an 8-man queue, basically. I don't believe it's single elimination. I think it's Swiss. Swiss. And it's going to cost you 60 play points or 6 event tickets, which is the equivalent of $6. And you are given a random Pro Tour deck, which is a deck that had a good, strong finish at the Pro Tour. And you've got
this
3
Pro
minutes.
Tour?
I think it's all Pro Tours. It's kind of unclear, but I think they're going to focus. Is it this one? Yeah, so your chances of getting Eldrazi are quite high. We'll get into that. But I don't think it just is the top eight. I think it's overall in the constructed portion.
Decks that did well. Had high finishes or multiply finishes.
So you're given 3 minutes to look it over, look over the sideboard, figure out what the hell you're doing with the deck, and then you play. You play a tournament with it. You can win 90 play points and a qualifier point with 3 wins. You can win 60 play points with 2 wins and 20 play points with 1 win. So if you win just one game, you are making a third of your money back. If you win 2 games, you're making all of your money back. And if you win all 3, it's just 3 rounds, you are going to net $3 and a qualifier point. Plus, you get the experience of playing with cards that you don't have to purchase or trade for or buy from anyone, which is the same thing as purchase. I said that twice.
or
give money to someone to take.
The Department of Redundancy Department.
Anyways, that sounds kind of interesting. It's definitely going to be fun to like just kind of pick something up randomly. I hope I don't get Merfolk every time I play. But yeah, that's starting Wednesday. I think it's going to go for a week. So if you're unsure of what the decks can do, Numot the Nummy, who is, what's his actual name here?
Kenji Igashra, I believe. I don't know how to say his last name.
That's the one. Kenji is going to be doing some articles on, or some videos on the Mothership, basically to show, you know, playthroughs with each of the decks so that you kind of get a background on them. So there you go. You can kind of check out and see when the event launches, like what decks you have a chance to get, and you can kind of prepare for each one of the, you know, each one of the decks, because to pick something up and play it is tough, even if you're aware of, you know, the combo and the interactions that it's got going on. So I'm sure there are some people that will have more experience playing those in the past that just have the upper hand in these events. But at 60 event points, it's not too much of a loss if you just do it for fun too.
That sounds like a really good idea on them, like not having to invest in a deck, and you're just like, man, I don't really want to play that deck. Granted, it's random for the deck you get, but like, still, it's a nice way to be like, this is a deck that went well at the Pro Tour that I don't need to. I invest $6 in, and it's a Phantom Q. So,
Yeah, I get to play 3 games with it and kind of get a feel for it. You know, If I like it, I like it. And if I don't, all right.
I really hope Lantern Control isn't one of the options.
I want it to be one of the options.
Oh, yeah,
I think it's one of the best decks. We'll talk about that after we talk about the Pro Tour results.
Anyways, let's go on. Daryl, you just put a link in the show notes that pertains to the last topic here.
What did I?
Or was that Nick?
No, that was me.
Okay, what you got, Nick?
That was just a nice website that says what's in the standard that you can put in the notes for the podcast.
Oh, so we know what sets are legal.
Yeah.
Way it's to go, very, Nick.
Yeah, it's very well put out in very block sections instead of like reading a whole article about how they are redoing it. This is just very well put together of 3 blocks saying this is what standard win.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm a fan of this.
Yeah.
Well, that is quite useful. All right, I will put that in the show notes. Let's go on to the Pro Tour.
Oh, nothing really happened there, right?
Hey, no, it was totally
a lot of matches played. All right, I'm going to name cards for, I don't know if you guys have looked at all the top 8 lists.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun. I'm going to name some large scale cards, though, that were nowhere to be found in the top 8.
All right, go for it.
Lightning Bolt.
Yeah.
Snapcaster Mage. Tarmogoyf. Abrupt Decay. Yep. Kolaghan's Command. Any other cards we want to...
Remand?
Remand.
Exile. Is Path to Exile in there?
No paths.
90% of Fetch Lands.
Court of Calling, not there.
Birds of Paradise?
Nope. No Goblin Dark Dwellers. No Gideons.
Sea Trino.
Sea Trinos even.
Tybalt.
How about we'll name some draft cards that also made the topic? I feel like the winner of the Pro Tour played a draft deck.
Yes.
Literally played a draft deck.
Okay.
Drowner of Hope.
What? What's Drowner of Hope?
It's a 6-mana 5/5 rare. 5 and a blue. When it comes into play, makes 2 colorless scions. And sacrifice an Eldrazi Scion to tap a creature.
Yeah.
4 of Drowner.
It's only 4 mana, isn't it?
No, it's 6.
Well, it depends on how you... It's like really like 2 lands. That's like 2 lands.
Yeah.
Eldrazi Obligator. We discussed this card when it was spoiled and said that it could be a nice little piece of spice for Standard. Well, guess what? We were wrong. How about Modern?
Yeah. How about it? Eldrazi Skyspawner.
Thought Not Seer?
That card. I hate that we have to abbreviate that card. Like, that card should not be like a Modern card you need to abbreviate now because of this deck.
Thought Not Seer? Thought Not
Seer. Thought Not Seer, yeah.
What do we TKS. Call it? TKS.
Is that card any good?
It's pretty good when it's cost 2 mana.
Oh,
well, weren't there like 28 copies of that in the top 8 or something stupid like that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 24.
Sorry. Didn't one of the Affinity decks have it?
Yeah.
I know that one of them was running some Thought Not Seer. I don't know if it was one of these two.
I think it might have been Pascal.
Isn't that insane? It costs 4 mana. Yeah, I don't see it in...
Dude, Affinity was playing Seagate Ruins. Or Wreckage, whatever it was.
That's the one where you draw a card if you're opposite library?
Yeah.
So, Daryl, I'm going to give you some credit because this is the deck that you designed very roughly in like our set review. You were talking about the Eldrazi, and you went through and you were like, yeah, I can see the Eldrazi Mimic. I can see that, you know, turn two, Thought Not Seer, Eldrazi Mimic becomes a 4-4 and beats you down. And that's exactly what happened. The Eldrazi deck, this is a brand new deck that showed up in the Pro Tour. It's nothing like the control deck.
The cards that I wouldn't have thought would have been in this deck were, because I had no clue what they are because I don't play Limited, are Eldrazi Skyspawner.
I
don't know what the hell. Ruination Guide.
Ruination Guide's your lord.
Vile Aggregate. Like, if I played Limited in this set, I've just been like, oh yeah, all these cards are insane when you put them all together. And this is just like the best Limited deck ever. But yeah, like this. But yeah, I also forgot to mention Endless One, but I thought it was kind of obvious just because it was like, you could play this guy for a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
X equals
or something. A little.
Or a little. Or you just play him as a 2/2 on turn one. Like, turn one, Ivugan, Endless One. Go. Like,
don't forget your like double Mimic.
Yeah.
So whatever. I'm sure everyone knows what we're talking about right now, but just for clarity's sake here, we've got 6 Eldrazi aggro decks in the top 8 of the Pro Tour. It was won by Eldrazi aggro. Second place was Eldrazi aggro. Third place was Affinity, but don't worry because it was tied with Eldrazi aggro. Fifth place was Affinity. It was also tied with Eldrazi aggro, and then 2 Eldrazi aggro decks in the 5th/8th place after that. Or I guess those are all tied for 5th. Four-way tie. But 2 Affinity, 6 Eldrazi aggro, roughly the same deck. There's a lot of blue-red, but also kind of like a colorless version.
Is that good?
With the same main deck for Thought Not Seer, same main deck for Reality Smasher, and Eldrazi Mimic, Endless One. It is pretty degenerate. Sure. But there's some things to keep in mind. The pilots of these decks are like Luis Scott Vargas, you know, Frank Lepore, Andrew Brown. You know, these guys
Frank
are like,
Lepore, that was only Frank Lepore's first Pro Tour.
Pro Tour, yeah.
But these are not slouches that just pick up the deck, you know?
Correct. Yeah.
But then on top of that, this is a deck that no one's prepared for. I mean, it's his first showing, right? It's the Pro Tour, so the metagame is not like your typical like GP or Star City Games open metagame. People are just trying to spike at all costs. Like, we're running things like the Spirit Guide. What's the red spirit?
Simeon
Spirit Guide. Like, we just want to race these creatures out as fast as possible. We want to be as aggressive as possible here. Is this something that's going to stick around long term? I don't know.
No, because it's going to get banned.
Is it going to get banned? Is it really?
Yes. It's going to get banned.
I mean, don't we let this play out for a while and see what happens?
No, it gets banned. It shadows it in a shred. They have 8 soul lands.
You think it gets
lands.
Emergency ban? Wow.
That's not an emergency. 3 months from now?
It feels like an emergency. Jesus.
The Treasure Cruise was quote unquote emergency ban then.
I know. It's not an emergency.
So the more shocking thing about this, and this kind of supports the ban argument, is how much of the metagame was Eldrazi? How many total decks were there?
It was 8%. It was 32 of the 400, or it was like 390 people in the Pro Tour. Of that 390, 32 were playing Eldrazi decks.
Mm-hmm.
And then of that 32 of 400, 6 of 8 got to the top 8.
That's an insane conversion.
I'm gonna go through the point standing.
Yeah.
So for decks that were, I'm gonna say 8-0-2 or what, 8-1-1 or better, there are 9 of them. Eldrazi aggro, Affinity, Eldrazi aggro, Eldrazi aggro, Cord. Eldrazi aggro, Eldrazi aggro, Eldrazi aggro, Affinity. Yeah. 25 or more points. So one Court of Calling deck. So that means this guy had a really terrible draft portion because he did not top 8. But he went 9-1 in Modern with Court of Calling and did
not top 8. Is that the four Angels of Lifelink ones?
That is the four Archangel of Thune.
Yeah, I like that list.
I don't know how the heck he decided he was going to play four 5-drops. In a format where his opponents are playing Reality Smash on turn 3 and not get laughed out of the building. But apparently he didn't get laughed out of the building. Yeah, so
apparently it worked for him.
Just dodge. Just dodge all the Eldrazis.
Okay.
In fact, Archangel of Thune is up to about $20 right now after that. I don't know if that's...
It's always been about that.
Has it?
Yeah.
Dipped all right, for a while, but, hold okay. on. I'm going to go on a rant of ridiculous Modo prices for $500.
Yeah, all right, let's see. Go for it.
All right. I'm going to pick a card in this Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch Archangel Cord deck.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the real life price, and I'm going to ask you to tell me if it is lower or higher than the Modo price.
Oh, okay. This will be fun.
I'm going to do this with four cards. Archangel of Thune.
I can real tell life, you right now it's lower.
Real life price, $18.97. Lower or higher than the Modo price?
Lower.
That's correct. It is $25 on Modo.
Now, pause for a sec. Is this ever an indicator of what the paper price is going to do?
No.
No. It's just because it's a Mythic online.
Okay. All right.
Mythics are expensive.
Continue.
All right. The second card is Noble Hierarch.
Yeah.
It's like 50 in paper, isn't it?
$44.30 on paper.
Modo. It is lower on Modo.
It's got to be lower on Modo.
12 tickets.
Yeah.
I'm going to got one more. Okay. This is going to be the fun. Warship.
Oh, Nick.
$26 in paper?
Yup.
Jeez. It's lower. Higher, or higher on Moto because it hasn't gotten drafted in forever, has it?
Incorrect.
No?
$2.49.
Ooh. All right.
To be fair, though, that might not be catching up because Warship just spiked today.
Oh. So get them while they're hot.
Yeah, I guess so.
$2.49. Nope, two tickets. Buy price, one ticket. 4+ available.
Yeah, what is today? Today's the 8th?
Yes.
So what's the deal with the Warship in this deck? Did it just tear down some games because people couldn't interact with a 4-mana enchantment?
I think that people are buying Warships because the Eldrazi deck can't beat it currently. Yeah.
Right.
Currently, they cannot beat Warship if you have dudes.
They have four dismembers, and that's it.
Correct. They can. I think if this becomes a strategy to beat them, they have all this dust just to like wreck the crap out of it, though. So
yes,
in their current concoction, they have no way to beat it. But I think if Warship becomes a way to beat it, they'll decide in some all this dusts for 1-mana or for 4-mana board wipes that are one-sided. So GG.
Hey, while we're on the topic of picking prices, there are a lot of cards that spiked over the weekend, and so let me extend this to just say, can you guess what the ending price of this card is? This card being Simeon Spirit Guide first.
It was like $20 when it was like spiked this weekend. I think it dropped down to 14.
I was going to say $13.99 actually.
It is $12.29 on paper, but it can be gotten cheaper on TCG. Yeah, all insane, right? It's a common. Chalice of the
Servant.
Void jumped. Painter's Servant?
Yep.
There you go. Well, how much is that one?
Like 30 now?
Oh, Chalice God. Of the Void's probably going to be like $30 now?
It is.
I think it's
50 in paper.
Yeah,
what?
I pooked away one for $50.
What?
Painter's Servant is 35.
Oh, like somebody just... why am I playing this game anymore?
It's ridiculous. I'm done with Modern. I think things need to like sort themselves out before I even like consider like trading into a new deck, because this experience has been awful for me. I traded out of the Eldrazi deck for the freaking Twin deck. It got banned, and now this. But the problem is this. I'm not in the minority here. I'm sure there are plenty of people in my situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of a sudden, Modern has been a format where you have to play these extremely aggro decks, and if you were on the Twin plan, there's really no backup that even stands a chance in this meta that you can build with the pieces. There's no control anymore. There's none.
No.
Hold on. Let me look at this. There is not a single blue deck in the 24 pointers. You have to go all the way down to 21 before you see your first actual blue deck.
What's the
and
blue
that
deck?
Blue deck is Infect.
The Eldrazi aggro decks are blue. The blue red ones. But the Infect deck is just as good. It's an aggro deck, you know. Yeah.
So like here is the act. I found the actual blue control deck.
Yeah.
So that's Snapcaster Mage.
Has four Snapcaster Mages.
Okay, it qualifies then.
Blue Moon.
Yeah.
By Jason Chung.
I think we're finding that Blood Moon is not good enough, though. It's not
no,
fast
it's
enough.
Not.
You've already taken 16 damage. They've got 3/4/4s on the table.
Yep. And they just like thought not seer away it away anyways.
Right.
So I think I've been talking with everybody trying to say like how do you beat this deck, and I don't think there's a good answer to that. Like there's not a very good way to beat this deck. Like it had such a high penetration because there's 6 in the top 8 and there's only 32 in the field. Like granted, yes, they're the best of the players, but like
I'm gonna stop you.
Still, okay, go ahead.
Say that Sam Black has the answer.
Okay.
Is it
what's the answer?
Abzan Company?
No, Sam Black has the answer, and the answer is Lantern of Insight.
They have a creature out already. Turn one, they have a creature that's gonna beat you down, right?
I have 4 ensnaring bridges in my deck that they can't interact with.
Ah, that's fair. All right.
Ensnaring bridge, you're dead. Go.
Yep.
They lose. It's over.
But they also play 4 Thought Not Seers.
That's fine. I mean, like, we both have to draw those cards in some connotation. I understand that.
Yeah.
Correct.
But Sam is playing 4 Inquisition, 2 Thoughtseize, 2 Surgical. So he has these Thoughtseize you, Surgical, your Thought Not Seer.
So he's playing, like, is he playing Rax or is he playing...
No, it's just, like, the mill deck. Like, Lantern of Insight, show me the top card. Oh, it's good. Ghoul Caller's Bell it away. Oh, it's good. Codex Shredder it away. Oh, it's bad. Leave it. Like,
I get it.
I still don't think it's going to be like that. Deck is going to be good versus. I mean, it's going to be good versus like some decks, but not all of the decks. It's going to be good against like Eldrazi, but like against Burn, it's maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Lantern Control.
Lantern Control is a deck.
Yeah.
Yes, he even got to play a Seagate Wreckage in his Lantern Control deck, which is delightful.
Yeah. How well did he do? Did he play that this week?
Yeah, 8-2 oh. In Modern.
Not bad.
No. Huh. But I think this deck is the answer, if there's an answer.
Yeah, I could see that. How sad would it be if the metagame is all Lantern Control and all Eldrazi, though?
Pretty sad.
It so, would be not great.
I'm playing standard. I'm playing standard for a while. Though, if you really dig, and I posted a lot of these on our Facebook page the other day, there are a lot of interesting decks somewhere down the line here, including like a little kid Abzan deck that was kind of cool.
I want to play little kid Abzan again. I think that seems well in the meta right now.
It's pretty close to the Jacob Wilson deck, and in fact, if you deal with Reality Smasher, you do something to kill the Reality Smasher. It counters unless you discard a card. Can you discard a Wiltleaf Liege into play?
Yeah. You
can discard your Loxodon Smiter, your Wiltleaf Leech. That's great. That's what I want to be doing right now.
You have to play Path, people. Right?
Yeah.
I just want to Mardu people. Because, like, so I look at, like, Paul Rietzel's Mardu deck.
Yeah.
And I think it's terrible because people are just jamming a bunch of Chalice of the Voids. Uh-huh. And it has, like, 15 one-mana spells in it.
Wow.
But, like, I just want to be playing the color combination that has, like, Path to Exile, Terminate, and Crackling Doom, and Liliana, so that I just have all these unconditional creature kill spells. Like, that thing is dead. I don't care if it's Reality Smasher, or if it's Birds of Paradise, or if it's Malira, or if it's a 12-12, it's dead.
Right, right.
Like, that's what I want out of my removal spells.
How do you like Blue-White Control right now?
I don't.
I know. You only have 4 real answers to anything in Path Exile. Like, sure, you have 4 Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah.
But if you never draw the first path, like, you're in trouble.
They play, like, Condemns now, like, 1 or 2 Condemns. So, like, up that count. But like, I mean, I feel like Bolt is just better because it allows
Bolt is terrible.
Yeah, Bolt can't kill a Thought Knots here, though. You know?
Sure, can't kill a Thought. It's terrible against exactly like Eldrazi, but like it's better against the field.
I agree.
And you don't like ramp them.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like, ramping them is huge. Like, you give them a land, they will use it to the best of their ability because they play, like, six-man lands, couple, four Eye of Ugin's. They have everything to do with their mana.
That's true.
This is why I also want to be playing a deck with, like, Terminate in it and things like that. Like, I just want unconditional kill spells.
So I like this one. There's another one that that showed up over the weekend, and that was, and I can't say this name because it's Russian, maybe? G-R-Z-E-G-O-R-Z. Gregor's Kowalski's Grixis Delver deck. And he's on 4 Delver, 3 Snap, 3 Young Pyromancer, 2 Tasker, 2 Gurmog, 3 Git Probe, 4 Lightning Bolt, 4 Seer Envisions, 2 Spell Snare, 4 Thought Scour, 3 Mana Leak, 2 Remand, 3 Terminate, 2 Kolgan's Command, and 1 Murderous Cut. Unfortunately for Gregor, almost all of his like very live removal and counter spells are just not live against the Eldrazi deck. All the Lightning Bolts don't do anything. All the Spell Snares are, you know, borderline useless against most of the creatures, right? They can deal with a mimic, and that's it.
It kills Chalice, which is a big deal. But.
Right. So this is your Terminate deck, though. This is all we have right now. I mean, what's the Mardu deck all about?
The Mardu deck by Paul Rietzel, it's a low to the ground deck. Otherwise, I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of lands, including 5-man lands, a Lava Claw Reaches, and 4 Shambling Vents. 2 Abbot of Carol Keep, 4 Dark Confidant, a Meddling, or Grim Lavamancer, and a Fulminator Mage. And then 4 Inquisition, 2 Kolgan's Command, 4 Bolt, 3 Helix, 4 Souls, 4 Path of Terminate, 3 Thoughtseize, a Johnny, and 3 Liliana. And then the sideboard is an Ajani, a Crumble, a Damnation, 3 more Fulminator Mages, the 4th Lightning Helix, a Rakdos Charm, 2 Rest in Peace, 2 Sony Silence, a Timely, Aware of Terran, a Zealous Persecution. But, like, he's not even playing Crackling Doom, which surprises me. Like, especially if you think these Eldrazi decks are going to be the bee's knees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to have a bunch of chalices. You have, like, 17 one-mana spells that are all going to get roasted by a turn one chalice. And even if they don't get you a turn one chalice, turn two chalice is good enough against you. And so, like, you can't ever beat a chalice unless you draw one of your 2 Kolgan's Commands. And then, like, you have exactly 5 removal spells for an Eldrazi.
Right.
Because Bolt and Helix are 2-for-1s. And if you, like, have to Bolt and Helix a Reality Smasher, it's like a 7,000-for-1. So you might as well just quit the game. Like if you look at Bolt and Helix and your opponent casts a Reality Smasher, you just want to throw your entire deck across the room.
But you get a Healing Salve out of it, so it's like a free 3 life, you know?
Yeah, that's worth it.
Oh, my God. Started no. Whereas, like, Crackling Doom is, like, the removal spell I think you want to be playing because, like, it eats those Reality Smashers for free.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, like, with Path and Terminate, you can clean up everything else. You might could still play Bolter Helix for, like, the Eldrazi Mimics and, like, Sky Spawners and Bioaggregates and X5. Never mind. Yeah. Whatever small crap is in that deck. But, like, you need a bunch of, like, big removal spells. Like, you can't just, like, try and fire off Bolts. And so, like, if you were to try and build, like, this Mardu deck that could control the Eldrazi deck, you could get preyed on by Affinity because you don't have, like, Lightning Bolt in your deck. So Lightning Bolt can end up being a sideboard card. And so it's, like... So
is Supreme Verdict not good? I mean, this is why I like Blue-Eye Control. We've got Supreme Verdict, we've got your Tech Edges, you know, you've got your path.
You could just play Damnation.
You could play Damnation, fine. So, like, in a John deck or something, I think you could run Damnation. You could run, like, Abrupt Decay. You could run Maelstrom Pulse. You know, the creatures in multiples, Maelstrom Pulse seems to have a little bit of upside. I'm trying to think of the best removal package for this sort of matchup. And
I
nothing really comes
smart.
To mind.
I think
Sweepers
smart.
Are fine, but they're just late, and you have to dodge Thought Knots here.
Yeah.
Like, for... Thought Knots Seers with like Cavernous Souls like makes this deck very hard to like.
Yeah, blue decks are laughably bad against it.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. All right. Yeah, so Mardu with Damnation. And did this have GRWD in there?
No, did not have Goblin Dark
Tools. Oh man, Daryl, we were off with our prediction.
I know they played really low to the ground. They played low to the ground, and they valued like, in their Mardu deck, they valued Dark Confidant over.
Yeah.
Trying to play a go bigger game, which, you know, it makes sense if Eldrazi isn't a deck because, like, they don't have enough aggressive threats in this deck. Like, if you're trying to clean up games with Shamblade Vent and stuff like that against Eldrazi, you're going to have a really hard time unless you're, you know, double-teaming, like, two burn spells and a couple Lingering Soul tokens on Eldrazi. Like, you're just, like, it's disastrously bad to try and figure out how to slog your way through that. Which is why I'm curious to see is why there's no, like, Mardu-style combination deck with, like, a bunch of the unconditional removal, including Liliana, and then just, like, chipping away at the Eldrazi like that.
Well, was anyone expecting the Eldrazi? I mean, in the form that they took? Like, maybe in the future, they'll see this and they'll say, okay, this is, you know, this is our my best bet against that deck. But at the time, you have to remember, like, hindsight is 20/20, but we could have never predicted this, like, onslaught of the same freaking aggro deck.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, this looks like a great list. It definitely looks fun to play. People have been trying Mardu decks in Modern for the longest time, and nothing's really caught on.
No, it's hard to, like, gain because it doesn't have, like, a good card advantage engine in Snapcaster Mage.
I mean, or, like, he's not even playing. Like, there are a lot of card advantages for this deck. So, like, you have to look at Liliana as your card advantage engine. Like, taking their cards is the same as gaining card advantage. Because really, like, your Mardu deck is trying to trade one for one and just get to Hellbent to where your cards are better than their cards. And Liliana sits on the board as an answer to that those cards. So if they draw a removal, it's stuck in their hand and you Liliana it. If they draw a threat, they play it and you Liliana it. So, like, Liliana is your card advantage engine for Mardu.
Mm-hmm.
Can we look at this Bushwhacker Zoo that got 24 points?
Yeah.
It's playing that new Bushwhacker, the Reckless Bushwhacker.
Wait, what?
It's playing a Singleton. It's 24 points in. Yep.
Oh, I found one on 21.
It's playing one drop.
Whoops.
What?
I found one on 21 points. My bad.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. It's playing four Burning Tremissaries. It's playing one drop two, essentially. But being able to do, like, turn one, experiment one, turn two, Burning Tremissary into Reckless Bushwhacker.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And then it's playing a one of Devastating Summons, which I thought was cool.
Yes,
you can play it late game.
Sacrifice
you play
all your
turn four, yeah. Turn four, float six or turn four, float four mana. Play Devastating Summons. Play Bushwhacker, and you have four haste, three twos, and five haste, three twos with your Reckless Bushwhacker. So
I think you're doing
that was a very good one of.
I think you're doing this math wrong.
Why?
You make four mana. You cast Devastating Summons. You sacrifice.
Oh, they come with X-axes. They don't become.
They're four fours.
I thought they were.
No. They're XXs.
Oh,
so
I'm reading
two of them.
I'm reading
and they're
wrong.
Five folders with your Bushwhacker.
I thought I was.
Oh no, you're bad at math. Don't play this deck, man.
No,
you
I thought it was put X two elemental
no,
creatures.
No, it's two XXs.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Still great. Still great.
That's why
this is John Geller was on this list. He was talking about it early on in the cast. It was like a mono red list that was like four of the old Bushwhackers and it was like four Devastating Summons. It had like a ridiculously low land count. It was like probably 15 to 18 land somewhere in there. And it was just all about that interaction of it only cost 3 mana to Devastating Summons and Reckless Bushwhacker or Goblin Bushwhacker for like, I don't know, 18 damage sometimes. It's ridiculous how much you can get out of that amount of mana. Let's see. So you sacrifice 3 lands. You get 2/3/3s, right?
Yep.
So so the cheapest you can do it is you get a 2/2 Bushwhacker. Plus 2/4/4, so that's 10 damage, right?
No.
Or 2/1.
Doesn't he get haste 2? Doesn't he get the plus 2?
He gets plus 1 as well.
No, other,
yeah.
The Bushwhacker gets plus 1
other
as well.
Creatures.
Other creatures.
Oh.
Other creatures.
Is it other creatures?
It's a 2/1, yeah.
So it's 10 damage.
So 3 mana, 10 damage. Turn 3, 10 damage. Turn 4, plus 2, right? That's it. That's the only difference.
Yeah,
but
12 damage.
That last damage becomes a Lightning Bolt or something, right? So
yeah, last mana.
Functionally 15. But turn 5, you can include an Antarkus Command in there. And so turn 5, you've got 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 damage. There you go. Boom. No blockers. You win the game.
The full amount, really?
Yeah.
2, 5, 5, 6, 6, 12, 14, 3 from a target swing. Yeah, that's the full amount. Wow. All right.
How do you like that?
If you're on turn 5 and you have 0 damage to the opponents.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
still, we're just talking about, like, that's the full amount. Like, they're dead.
Right.
I mean, that's an explosive, like, it's so much different than what you can do on turn 4, though.
I believe we call that I believe you call that killing them out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah, nothing on the table. Yeah. Just a bunch of lands. All right.
I am definitely going to be sleeving this up, I think.
You see he's got Phyrexian on life in the sideboard?
Yeah.
Isn't that cute?
It's just for like your okay or one hit KO decks, so like all your ad nauseums and your storm decks. Yeah. Does it storm? No, it doesn't hit storm. I don't know how that affects storm.
I'm not really sure.
It's actually for your aggro matchup. You okay. just get 10 extra life.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's functionally like gain 10 life.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know why he has Kozilek's Return in there. I feel like that's a weird choice when he's playing.
His guys are all X3s, right? I thought his guys were all
like.
Yeah.
He's playing like the Bushwhacker and the Burning Tree now. So like he's playing and like Goblin Guide and Experiment One. So he's playing a bunch of non X3s.
Kozilek's is good against fish because you can respond to the activation on the Aether Vial, and you can you can Pyroclasm the board. But yeah, his guys mostly survive that. The Reckless Bushwhacker only does this thing when he comes into play anyway, so it's not like he's going to be sitting around on the table where you're going to miss him. Goblin Guide dies.
Right.
Yeah.
Burning Tree dies. You
also probably sculpt a situation if the game goes long, where like Kozilek's Return and then back it up with a Tarkus Command and protect your creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I really like Deflecting Palm. I think that is my favorite sideboard tech right now. And in that Mardu deck that you were mentioning, Daryl, I don't see why you wouldn't want to throw in some Deflecting Palm here. It chooses, so it doesn't target a Reality Smasher, so it's redirect 5 damage can be enough to not only fog you, but get them into the red zone. But it's really good against the big Tron decks.
If you're building the deck where burn is bad, and so you're cutting the burn, it's not great. But if you're like if you're playing like the plan that Paul Rietzel's on with a bunch of burn, yeah, it's fine.
All right, let's go back for a second. We mentioned Liliana, we were talking about her. There is, and we also mentioned that Madness is coming back in the new set. They've been like printing a lot of modern playable cards, you know, in the recent standard sets, obviously tons of them in Oath of the Gatewatch.
Yeah.
Does the prospect of Madness make Liliana more appealing to a modern player?
It depends on what Madness cards they print.
I mean, the speculation is enough to make it spike, though, is what I'm saying. Would you expect to see any change in the price on that card? Because people expect a Madness card that's going to
$15.
Break Liliana. You think so?
Make it 110.
Sure. I don't know.
I don't think Madness is going to be that much better for her. Depends on like what gets printed, though. Like, she's already a very good card, so like.
Oh, yeah, she's a great card.
It's going to be hard to like break her more if like. If there's something that's good that's with her, but like you already have like Lingering Souls, which is great with her.
It's functional Madness anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just thought something to think about. Alright. I think I'm done bitching about the Pro Tour. there's not much to say that hasn't already been said. I don't know what to expect for the future of this format. I don't know if we're gonna let this play out and you know, see some changes in people just prepared for these decks, or
I mean, there's going to be
an emergency ban. But yeah,
I guess this kind of leads me to, you know, based on both of you kind of talking and stating your feelings with Pro Tour, are you guys just like, do you guys not want to be anywhere near the modern format for like the next couple of months, and you'd rather be playing something else, or are you guys just like, what are your feelings? Are you going to be trying to jam a bunch of games of modern and figure out how to beat Eldrazi and like try and break it? Or are you just like, nope, don't want to be anywhere near this format. I want to play modern, or I want to play standard, or play legacy. Go dust off my EDH.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead, Nick. Sorry.
I'm gonna be playing FNMs, but I'm like, I was thinking about going to GP Detroit, but I am not going to that now that the Pro Tour has done. It just doesn't like Eldrazi seems like too good of a deck to be like trying to brew to beat. So I think it's just gonna be a crap ton of Eldrazi for the next couple months, and I think they're going to emergency ban I, but like at FNM they're not going to be having like there might be like one or two people that have the Eldrazi deck because they have their Tron deck built with their Eyes of Ugin's and their, you know, uncommons from Mountain Masters 2 in the temple, but I don't think I don't think I'm going to be playing anything competitive in the near future, just because I feel like Eldrazi is the go-to best deck of the format, hands down, right now.
Yeah, at least in the last 3 days. But
yeah, I mean, it's not just like the Pro Tour either. Like MTGO has been like solidifying those results as well.
Oh really?
Yeah. It's only like Cedric Phillips. If you listen to his podcast today, like he does a podcast and they post about Star City Games. He did a podcast with Danny West. He's like, Jacob Wilson. Yeah. So like, yeah, I have the Eldrazi Nekomoto. It's the best deck. I didn't play it. I played something else. I'm stupid. Go play this deck. And he traded it to Cedric Phillips on Moto. And Cedric Phillips, having never picked up the deck before in his life, won a PPTQ on Moto. Stayed until 5 a.m., killed a PPTQ with it.
Yeah, there's one Moto daily result so far from today after the Pro Tour, and three of the four top decks are Eldrazi.
What's the fourth?
Yeah.
The fourth one is Affinity.
Oh, man. Surprise. I think this sounds familiar, right?
Yeah. It's just very hard to attack a deck that has eight soul lands.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just I'll let this figure itself out, and then I'll get involved again. But in the meantime, I'm just going to lay low.
Like, I is definitely the problem.
It's got to go.
You can make so much mana off I in, like, one turn. If you play two dudes and you have an Orberg out, it just made five mana.
What?
Yeah,
this guy's playing Endbringer?
Yeah, was that the Eldrazi?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, slight four variations on the plan.
What is this madness?
Now, hang on a second. Let me ask you something. Do you think that Twin would have changed the results if Twin wasn't banned?
Absolutely.
Do you think Amulet Bloom would have kept this in check? Do you think Twin would have kept it in check? You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think Eldrazi would have steamrolled it as well.
Twin certainly would have.
What's that?
I think Twin certainly would have.
Explain.
I think that, like, being able to tempo them just enough with Twin, they only have four dismembers as interaction.
Yeah.
And so, like, just being able to tempo them enough by, like, pester mining their Reality Smasher, and then, like, all right, Twin you. All right, see you later.
Yeah, I guess they aren't pressured to play a lot of removal and to deal with Twin, right?
Yeah, like, it changes the way they brew their deck in such a way that they have to play a ton more removal and also, like, land Chalice of the Void. So, like, they have to play more disruption. Because even if you have Thought Knotseer, like, Cavern of Souls makes for the Remand plan very bad, so that's kind of awkward. But, like, if people just kind of forgot Cavern of Souls in their deck and did it wrong, then, or, like, playing Colorless Eldrazi, then you get the free roll of just, like, Remanding their Thought Knotseers and then, like, pester mining their Eldrazi temple, leaving them stuck on mana, and then 20ing them because they have no spells. Like, you would just see, like, I think an uptick in Warping Whales.
Mm-hmm.
But that would require you to have two lands untapped to be able to cast, so.
Nick?
I don't think so. I think they're a tempo deck, and then they combo out when they can. They don't have, like, Bolts have a bad target. Remands are hard to hit. They get out-tempoed very easily by playing like 4/4s and 5/5s that they can't really deal with very well at all.
Right.
Also, if
your opponent's tapping out, doesn't that just mean you get to free roll the combo?
I mean, if they tap out, but like you're not going to tap out against Twin.
Well, then they're not playing 4/4s and 5/5s.
Yeah, that slows you down then, though, you know?
Yeah. I mean, sure, but I mean, so you can play a 4/4 on turn two, and then you can just steamroll their face with a 4/4.
The Thought Knotseer is good anti-twin tech for sure, but
correct. And they also
if
play
they don't have
like
to think about that though. They just go balls to walls, play the biggest creature I can, you know.
Correct. If now that Twin's out of the format, you don't need to like worry about tapping out anymore because you're just like, lols, okay, I'm just gonna do whatever I want on turn three, and I can't be punished. But they also played like Spellskites and such, so it's not like they're like a dog to Twin anyways. Like they have like Lewis Scott Vargas's was playing two Spellskites and the third in the board.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're like a complete dog to Twin anyways. So I think Twin would have made it so like this deck would have had to be like somewhat to face Twin because like Daryl said, you know, you can't just like tap out and just Rumple Stomp face turn three 5/5 Smasher and then lose the game. So, like, just the threat of having Twin would be there. But against every deck that's not Twin, like, they'll just, like, Roth will stomp you.
Right. So there we go. He's on Bantwin, and then I'll solve the problem, won't it?
On Bantwin, on Banpod.
make Corey a happy monkey.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather have Pod back.
But I'd rather have Pod. I don't think
Pod would stand a chance, though.
Probably not. But I want Pod. Like I would be fine losing to Eldrazi if I could play my Pod again.
Yeah.
I just want Counterspell.
Yeah, please. I don't know if that would solve our problems either, but
not even close.
No.
There's something just innately unfair about having that much value on turn one for zero mana. You know, with all the mimics and things, and so
yeah. And there's nothing
we can really do to combat the nut draw in that deck. No matter what kind of anti Eldrazi tech you've got, you just bend over to it. All right. I think that's all we got for today. We better leave it at that. We'll come back and talk. We'll come back and bitch some more after next weekend's modern classic results are all Eldrazi too. So,
yep.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Later. Cardnock Life is proud to be a part of MTGcast.com. We can be reached at cardknocklifepodcast.com or on Twitter at card_knock_life. We're always looking for more help in generating content for the website, and if you'd be interested in doing so, please email at cardknocklifepodcast@gmail.com.